If you have your Bibles, open with me to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 17. We've been in a series of messages in this great prophet. Jeremiah chapter 17, this is the third message from chapter 17, a very rich chapter with many themes. And this morning, we're going to take a look at the Sabbath. And that is the end result of Jeremiah chapter 17. What is the Sabbath? Why did God give the Sabbath? Well, Jeremiah gives us a clue, and what I want to do is go from Jeremiah 17 to other places, other locations in Scripture, that it would amplify our understanding of the Sabbath. God gave the Sabbath as a time of rest, and yet we're most restless about what it means to rest on the Sabbath. In fact, what is the Sabbath? There are some people that still look at Saturday as the Sabbath, and we Christians worship on Sunday, and so we call that the Sabbath. There are reasons for that. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17. And no, I didn't plan this on the first Sunday of football season to talk about the Sabbath. I think this is about the 16th sermon in the book of Jeremiah, and it just happened to fall on today. So that's why we're at chapter 17, verse 19. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Verse 19. Thus says the Lord to me, go and stand at the gate of the people, through which the kings of Judah go in and out. Stand also at all the other gates of Jerusalem. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and all the people of Judah, and everyone living in Jerusalem who come through these gates. This is what the Lord says. Be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring out a load out of your houses or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy, as I commanded your forefathers. Yet they did not listen or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and would not listen or respond to discipline. But if you are careful to obey me, declares the Lord, and bring no load through the gates of this city on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy by not doing any work on it, then the kings who sit on David's throne will come through the gates of this city with their officials. They and their officials will come riding in chariots on the horses, accompanied by the men of Judah and those living in Jerusalem. And this city will be inhabited forever. People will come from the towns of Judah and the villages around Jerusalem, from the territory of Benjamin and the western foothills, from the hill country and the Negev, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and grain offerings, incense and thank offerings to the house of the Lord. But if you do not obey me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying any load as you come through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle an unquenchable fire in the gates of Jerusalem that will consume her fortresses. Pray with me, please. Father, give us grace, both preacher and people. And help us to understand your word for your glory and our benefit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is said the Reformers were very much divided on the Sabbath. What does it mean? John Knox, the famous reformer of Scotland, wouldn't shave on Sunday. Wouldn't shave on Sunday because he thought it was a work. On the other hand, John Calvin believed in lawn bowling on Sunday. One thought, I don't do anything on Sunday. The other thought, I need to enjoy myself as an expression of my freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if those two disagreed, no wonder we have disagreement about what is the Sabbath day and how do I keep it unto the Lord. Now I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm not going to stay in Jeremiah except for a couple of verses. I want you to notice the main reasons why God said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's in verses 25 and 26. Number one, because of our benefit, the benefit of the covenant people of God. And that's what verse 25 says. That if you rest, if you take time for rest and repair, then God will bless the city. So often, the Israelites were workaholics or all kinds of other aholics, and we think about the Old Testament, back when the law was given, and God told them, I'm going to give you quail, or I'm going to give you manna. You can get it several days of the week, but don't do it on the Sabbath. And yet in their greed, they went out and they collected the food that God gave them kindly on the Sabbath day, and God struck many of them dead. God says, you've got to rest. You've got to rest. And when you do, you will benefit, both you and the entire community. A second reason why God gave the Sabbath is for His glory. You see that in verse 26. Not only will kings and princes come in and out, promoting the economy and all that goes on in Jerusalem. But it says in verse 26, they will come for a reason. They will come in from the cities of Judah and from the environs of Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin. And he goes on and says, they will offer sacrifices, burnt offerings, grain offerings, and incense, and thanksgiving to the house of the Lord. Why is the Sabbath important? For our benefit as believers, and for God's honor and glory. Why do we need to take time to rest? For our benefit, very simply, and for God's honor and glory, to reflect and think about Him. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you, and I would appreciate you getting it because we're going to look at several scriptures this morning. We're going to begin with Genesis chapter 2. There's also some pages in the back of your bulletin if you would like to take notes. We're going to move briskly through the scriptures to see what the Bible says about the Sabbath. Genesis chapter 2, the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and subsequently man and woman, He rested. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed by all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Now God doesn't need to rest. He never runs out of energy. He never runs out of anything. But the reason that He stopped and He rested was to give us a picture of what we're to do in obedience. Same as Jesus got baptized. Jesus didn't need baptism. We do, as a sign and symbol. But He gave us an example by doing it Himself. That's what God is doing here. Saying, if I take a rest, you better take a rest. God gave the Sabbath, the seventh day, to rest, to take a breather. Now go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. How important is the Sabbath? Go on to Exodus chapter 20, the next book of the Bible. And we learn that the Sabbath is so important, it's included in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Moses, who we believe wrote the book of Exodus, says in chapter 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Maintained as a perpetual command for us to obey, included in the Ten Commandments, which is one reason why we struggle so much with the Sabbath. You remember last time we were together in Jeremiah, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, we talked about the law of God. And within the Bible, in the Old Testament, there are three portions of that law. There's the moral law, which is really the Ten Commandments. There's the ceremonial law, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, and we said it was fulfilled completely in Christ Jesus. And there is also the judicial law. And that is those laws that were given to the state of Israel, to the Commonwealth of Israel, to govern how they are to behave. And you have to be very careful when you come from the Old Testament to the New Testament concerning interpretation of those laws. There's some that never change. Most never change. Some are augmented. The ceremonial law is completely fulfilled. However, the judicial law is interesting. The Bible says in one place that you shall not touch a dead carcass in the Old Testament. It was a Nazirite vow not to touch a dead carcass. It was a Nazirite vow not to cut your hair. When you come to the New Testament, the Bible makes it clear in 2 Corinthians that that Old Testament principle was meant with a New Testament reality, and that is, don't touch a dead carcass physically. In 2 Corinthians 6, don't be around a dead carcass spiritually. Do not be unequally yoked with a non-believer. And Paul quotes back to the Old Testament in that passage. And so the principle is not abolished. It's just restructured. Same as in the Old Testament. Whenever someone committed incest, they were put to death in the Commonwealth of Israel. The adjustment that is made, we see in 1 Corinthians 5. When somebody does something like that and they're disciplined by the church, they could be excommunicated. Communicating spiritual death. Why do we see this here? the sixth commandment. Excuse me, the fifth commandment. Because God says, I want you to rest. And I don't want you to forget resting. And when you do rest, don't forget that you're doing it for my honor and glory and for your benefit. Now go to Deuteronomy 5 with me quickly. Deuteronomy 5. This is where it begins to get interesting. Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Deuteronomy 5, we find a restatement of the Ten Commandments. The children of Israel are going in to take possession of the land. Moses is encouraging them. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day, keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day for the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Here's an addition. And the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. There's a history lesson now tied to this commandment. God says, I want you to observe the Sabbath in light of the past. I brought you out of slavery in Egypt. Don't forget. Now look at the next commandment. Same thing. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you, where? On the land with which the Lord gives you. He's saying there is a past and there is a future connected with these two commandments. There is a blessing and a promise. You honor your father and mother, the Bible says, your days will be long on the earth. But I want you to notice this whole idea of history, of the land that God is giving them, the land that they will inherit. There's something very interesting about that. Over and over again in the historical books and the prophets. And I don't have time, and you wouldn't have the patience for me to go through all the places in the Scriptures, especially the prophets, where God says exactly what He said in Jeremiah 17, honor the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. As you do it, you will benefit, and I will benefit, because I'll be glorified. We come to the New Testament. Christ was resurrected on the first day of the week, Sunday. Therefore, this day has been regarded as the Christian Sabbath. Why is that? Because just like Jewish history, Sunday became the main day of worship for Christians, and therefore took on the same characteristics of the Jewish Sabbath. A day to pause from worldly labor, pursuits, in order to rest and worship God. Now, why the confusion then? We come to the New Testament and we seem to find some confusion. The verses that were printed inside of your bulletin this morning, Mark chapter 2 and 3. Jesus is accused of breaking the Sabbath. He goes with his disciples eating grain. And whenever he goes through there, the Pharisees come and say, look, why are your disciples doing this? Why are they breaking the Sabbath? And Jesus is quoted as saying, look back to David. Remember what he did. Because of his hunger and need. Not because he was casual and just wanted a bite to eat. But out of hunger and need, he did that which ordinarily would be unlawful to do. He ate the bread that was given for the priests on the table that had been left over after the service. See, Jesus was making it plain, I am the fulfillment of the ceremonial law. And you Pharisees are so focused on the day instead of the God who gave you the day that you're totally misunderstanding the Sabbath altogether. And then right in chapter 3, there's a man who needs healing. His arm is damaged and withered. Jesus heals the man's arm. The Pharisees get mad at him again, and he's grieved at their hardness of heart. Why? Because they don't care about this man. They don't care about his withered hand. All they care about is Sabbath keeping. They are in slavery to the commandment and the day instead of the God of the commandment and the day. And Jesus says, which is better, to save life or take it? To do harm or to do good? And they wouldn't answer him. He concludes by saying the Sabbath was made for man and not the reverse. God gave the day, not as a handcuff, but as a time of rest and relief. And God sanctified it He sanctified the Sabbath. Something to keep in mind is that whenever Jesus criticized the Pharisees, they ran into trouble because they often misunderstood which was holy and which wasn't. Remember how Jesus scolded the Pharisees and he said, "You say whoever takes of the offering on the altar, that the offering is the important part, but whoever swears by the altar swears by nothing," basically. And Jesus points out, which is more holy? The offering or the altar that sanctifies it? What's in the temple or the temple itself, which sanctifies it? When you look at the Sabbath, it's the same thing. Don't get target fixation on the day. God set it aside and made it holy. But if you start looking at the holiness of the day more than the holiness of God and the reason why He gave the day, then you could become restricted and misinterpret altogether why God gave the Sabbath. Hang with me now. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We've gone through the Gospel of Mark, discovered what Jesus said and how He threw a curveball to the Pharisees. That the Sabbath wasn't so much about a particular day, but more about the state of one's heart. Way in the back of the New Testament, Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 17. Some astounding words by the Apostle Paul. He's telling the Colossians, keep your focus on Christ. Keep Christ central. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is your head, over every power and authority. In Him you are also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, and raised with Him through faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. And he goes on to speak, and look at verses 16 and 17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. The Apostle Paul is saying, in essence, since Christ came, every day is a Sabbath day in one sense, for we find our rest in Him. And the God who made the Sabbath day and sanctified it is the very God that we should find our rest in. That's the important point of the Sabbath. Not a particular day. I don't know about you, but whenever I take a Sabbath, it's on Friday. I don't rest on Sunday. Sunday is no day of rest for me. I rest on Friday. And I tell you that so that, unless there's an emergency, please don't call me on Friday. My phone can ring off the hook sometimes. And I say that from the pulpit because I don't want to point to any one particular person when they call me on Friday. If you've got an emergency, I want to know about it. I'll be mad if you don't call. But I've got to rest. I've got to rest. My wife tells me that. Rest. Get off the computer. Get off the phone. Rest. Because I have a tendency to be a workaholic too. One more day to get something done. Hebrews chapter 4. We won't turn to it. We don't have time. Hebrews chapter 4, the writer says, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. He talks about the people of God entering. Actually, we need to turn to it. Hebrews chapter 4. I can't bypass this. It's too important. Hebrews chapter 4. Remember, the Sabbath is not any particular day. The church sets aside Sunday for us to worship. And therefore, in obedience, we ought to come to church on Sunday and worship God if we're able to do so. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. He's talking about the Old Testament saints in the wilderness. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they heard it and was not combined with faith. Now we who have believed have entered that rest, just as God said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet His work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all His work. And again in this passage above, He says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later He spoke through David as it was before. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then, verse 9, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His. Look at verse 11. Therefore, let us be diligent. Let us make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience. Do you see the beauty of it? There's an already and a not yet. That's why the Sabbath goes from Genesis all the way back to the end of the Bible. Because it's fuller and richer than simply one day. We find our ultimate Sabbath rest in Christ. Here He's saying that the people of God went into the land, the promised land, because of faith. And He's saying to us, you want to go to the promised land, the heavenly land? You do it by faith. And you do it by acknowledging Me and resting in Me as your Lord and Savior. Now let me wrap it up very quickly here. We've gone through several verses of the Sabbath. Let me give you three principles. Number one, God gave the Sabbath for physical and spiritual restoration. God gave the Sabbath for physical and spiritual restoration. You've got to rest. Take it easy. We benefit both ways. Number two, the Sabbath was more to do with the character of God than the observance of a particular day. The Sabbath has more to do with the character of God than the observance of a particular day. God is acknowledged, honored, and glorified through the Sabbath. This is precisely what Jeremiah taught. And number three, the Sabbath is a fluid concept, and therefore should never be confined to a ritual of responsibility, but a relationship. A relationship. That's exactly why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. For I am gentle and humble in heart." And what? You will find rest for your soul. There is physical rest and there is spiritual rest. And we need both. And all of it is found not on a particular day, not in the do's and don'ts on Sunday. Should I watch the ball game? Should I go see the Bucks play? Should I mow the grass? What will my neighbor think? Is it honoring the Sabbath? No. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of it. And subsequent to that, as He said in Mark chapter 2 and 3, man wasn't made for the day. The day was made for man. In other words, it wasn't meant to be a handcuff. It was meant to be a blessing. Genuine rest isn't found in a particular day. Genuine rest isn't found in what you do or don't do on Sunday. Genuine rest is found in a person, Jesus Christ, as we submit to Him. Those are the three principles. Now let me give you quickly three applications. Some of us need to tighten up, number one. Some of us need to tighten up. Did you notice in Hebrews it says, diligently pursue rest? That almost sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? How am I supposed to diligently, how am I supposed to make every effort, agonize, striving to rest? Some of us need to tighten up. How do I diligently pursue rest? I adjust my schedule. I make worship a priority. I take time to rest and reflect and worship. Is it wrong to go to a Bucks game? No. But if you miss the corporate worship of Jesus Christ, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Perhaps you don't believe that God is truly here, even though we can't see Him or touch Him. We know from the Scriptures by faith He's present. And isn't that worth a few minutes of the first quarter to say, yes, I will worship the living God who gave me rest in body and soul. We go on vacation. I hear people tell me, what are you going to do on Sunday? Just lay low in the hotel room? No. We get out the Yellow Pages and find a church. I want to go to church. Why? Because I want to seek the face of the living God. What better way to worship? Listen, when you're out of town someplace, find a house of worship. Go encourage the pastor and the elders and whoever's there that they might seek God's face, and you seek God's face because you believe that he's present amongst his people. Don't look for a reason to lay out a church. Some of us need to tighten up. Second application, some of us need to loosen up. Some of us need to loosen up. Stop getting so uptight about what you do or don't do on Sunday. Whether you go to the game or the restaurant or an outing with the family, don't focus on the Sabbath to the exclusion of the Lord of the Sabbath. Don't allow the Lord's Day to become a day of tension and slavery. That's exactly what's being taught in these scriptures. God gave rest and he said, look back as I rescued you and delivered you from Egyptian bondage. Look forward to the heavenly gift. And all the way in between, take time to smell the roses. Rest and seek my face. I love our brother in Christ, Ralph Colbert. He sends me pictures constantly. Many of you get them through email. My email delete box is loaded with pictures from Ralph Colbert of beautiful flowers around this gorgeous campus. And I always have to stop and pause and say, I need to take time to look at the beauty of what I have. Sometimes you need to stop and stand still and take time. Tell your wife, I love you. Tell your child, I'm sorry. Tell your employer, I blew it. Tell your neighbor, I haven't been a good witness. And that doesn't happen in the noise and the confusion of life. It happens when you're still and seeking God's face. But you won't do that unless you pause to rest. All of us need to do it. All of us need to wise up. Some of us tighten up, some of us loosen up. All of us must wise up to the remarkable reality, the complex reality, of the glorious rest that we have in Jesus Christ. Are you resting in Him? That is, have you placed your faith in Him alone for salvation? Or are you trusting in your own self to pull the strings and push the buttons and make life work out this week? I don't know about you, but I fall into that indolence often. And I have to stop and take a Sabbath rest. Let me challenge you to do the same. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God which performs its work in those who believe. I ask, Lord Jesus, that through these feeble attempts, that you would give us wisdom concerning the Sabbath. And more than that, the Lord of the Sabbath, that we might come to Jesus and find our salvation in Him and our rest, physically and spiritually, that we might be prepared to live a life that brings honor and glory to your name. Bless us, Lord, to that end. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.